The parasha says in Re'eh, Perakid Beis, Pasuk Hey, that Ki El Hamakom Hashem Charshem Lokechem Mikol Shebechem Lasum Et Shmo Sham L'Shechnot Tivreshenu Vasa Shama. When you come to Makom Hashem Charshem, you come to Eretz Yisrael, you come to Yerushalayim, there will be the Shechina, and Tidreshu, if you want to be Dorish and Vasa Sham, you should go there, V'Haveisem Shama, and bring up. And here comes the whole list of different things you should bring to Yerushalayim: Olo Sechem, a carbon Olo, Zivchaichem, Zvachim, Ves Masro Sechem. Rashi points out Maaser Behema and Maaser Sheni, which are eaten in Yerushalayim. Ves Trumas Yadchem. Rashi points out that's referring to Bikurim. Nidrechem, Vinidbo Sechem, Vubachoros Bekarachem, Vesonchem, Nidarim, Nidavos, different types of sacrifices, different animals you bring up. Vachaltem Shamlef Neel Shamlokechem. You should eat them there before the Lord your God. Usmachtem b'chol mishlach yadchem atem uvatechem. You should be happy with your family there. Hashem berach shemokach v'gad should bless you. This farno, I think, has a very interesting insight. V'fnei Hashem elokechem usmachtem, says this farno, according to Pasuk in Tehillim. If you serve Hashem b'simcha, kiroi l'chol oved me'ahava. If you serve Hashem b'simcha, or one should serve Hashem b'simcha the right way, and anyone who serves Hashem b'simcha, then he switches to the word ahava, which apparently is very similar or even interchangeable potentially. Left off as a cliffhanger. Then what happens if you serve Hashem, or you should serve Hashem with simcha, then what? Mikom mishlach yedecha ki az tatzlichu az darkechem v'az tasfil, according to Pasuk in Yehoshua, Perek Aleph. Then you will be successful. And the Sfarno seems to draw a connection between if you serve Hashem b'simcha, you will then be successful. That's what this pasuk is. If you do this thing, you bring these karbanos up. If you serve Hashem, if you do Hashem, if you do it, u'semachtem b'chol mishlach yedchem, you'll be happy. And you'll be happy. Then the result, the reward, so to speak, for doing it, b'simcha, b'ahava, is hatzlacha. And I guess the question is, why is that the case? Why is simcha the most necessary ingredient? Why is it the criteria for Hatzlacha? What's the psychological insight the Torah is alluding to according to the Sfarno? What's going on? The truth is, if you look around people you know, I don't think there's a person out there I've ever met who ever decided to believe in God and or commit to Torah mitzvot based upon philosophical reasons alone. There's a lot of great philosophical reasons out there. There's a lot of insightful arguments, proofs, supports, argumentation brought to support that God exists, to prove that God exists. Because you can't even prove God exists. Many of these people like the Rambam and the Sadducees think you can. Others like the Beis Halevi, the Rav Shachachma, Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch believe you can't. Whether that's a machlok or just a debate about how to define the word proof is a good question. Also, that's not my topic. But however, you end up bringing the arguments that God exists. There's a lot of good arguments, and there's a lot of strong questions, and even supports that, you know, strong enough questions that can make an intelligent person, and a lot of the atheists out there are intelligent, to convince one that God does not exist. I think there's a lot of good proofs, so to speak, either way. I don't know if it's 50-50, but there's a lot of good argumentation either way. And I think everyone I've ever met who chose to believe in God made a conscious effort to do so, built off the philosophical proofs that they're aware of, taking into account the philosophical questions against, and they said, this is what I want to believe in. People make the decision to commit, to believe in God, to commit to Torah mitzvot, based upon emotional, psychological, sociological reasons. You had a Rebbe who really turned you off in third grade, you're upset at God. Your parents, you know, represent Torah, you don't like them, you get upset. You had negative experiences, you know, throughout life in religion, you never found yourself being successful at it. You feel, you know, you don't want to commit. You're not interested in God. You go through a difficult life. And how many people walked out of the Holocaust not believing? I'm saying there are many, many, many psychological, emotional impacts. Sometimes a person just wants to feel like he's smarter than God. And the reverse is true as well. Many people choose to believe in God because that's the only way they can feel that they find meaning. Where else can meaning come from if not God? So I want to believe in God because I want to believe there's meaning. People sometimes want to, they're afraid to deviate. What happens if there's a hell out there? I'll burn forever, or not forever, but for a long time, or I won't get old, or whatever. Many machlok is what exactly Gehenim is. Many sheet is as to what it is. But whatever it is, it's certainly not good. So I'm afraid to deviate from the lifestyle I was brought up, where I'll feel guilty if I don't daven or put on tefillin or keep Shabbos tomorrow. There are many, many reasons that psychological, sociological help us or assist our decisions. But at the end of the day, the decision is, do we want to be from, do we want to commit? And I think so much of that is, do we find happiness in committing? People who find happiness in committing usually minimize the sting of the philosophical questions. They're not as powerful, they're not as strong. By contrast, those of us who are really bothered by them, usually there's a psychological undercurrent, there's some deeper reason why we're unhappy with religion, and therefore we end up blowing up the deep philosophical questions. I think the story is told in Germany during the Haskalah, I guess in the 1800s, where many, many Talmidim students who were graduating at high school, that it was in Germany, and they were deciding whether they should go off to yeshiva or off to university and other possibilities, I guess. And a bunch of guys were split in half, someone off to the Volozhiner yeshiva, maybe it was the 1700s, I'm not sure. They went off to the Volozhiner yeshiva, I guess not 1800s. Many Talmidim went off to the Volozhiner yeshiva to learn, and many Talmidim went off to the University of Berlin to go study philosophy. And they came back after a year, after 2 years, whatever it was, and the Talmidim from Volozhin were frumer, had committed more, were invested in religion, made it the number one priority in their life. While the Talmidim, the students who went off to University of Berlin, came back less committed. And the students who went off to University of Berlin were curious. We all had these great deep philosophical questions. How do we know God exists? And how do we know that the Judaism is correct? And what does God want from us? And which religion is correct? And how do you know? And if you know, and proofs and whatnot. We studied with the greatest philosophers of the world, and we had no real conclusive evidence either way. We have no real proof. We have no real support. We don't know. We're in the exact same place where we were. And the Talmidim of the Volozhiner Yeshiva said, yeah, we also are. We studied philosophy, and we learned a lot. But we also learned a lot of Gemara, and we learned a lot of other things, and somehow the questions bother us less. And I guess that's really the point I'm trying to make. How much the questions bother you very often depends upon your emotional baggage/situation, and so much that is whether or not you found happiness, comfort, you know, a place at home in religion. Do you feel that that's where you belong? Have you found Ava? Have you found Simcha? And that's what the Torah is instructing over here, according to the Sfarno, to go out of your way to find a context, to find a place, to find a yeshiva, to find an environment, to find a community, to find a mindset where the Torah can be something that brings you simcha, where you can be happy serving Hashem. Again, as the Sfarno says, if du as Hashem simcha kiroi l'chol, and therefore l'chol ha'ovid miyava, what happens? B'chol mishlach yadchem, oz tatzlichu az darkechem v'oz taskilu, you'll be successful, you'll be... Yeah, correct. You'll be prosperous. You'll be successful. You'll see yourself as having been in a good situation, and you'll end up maintaining a sense of religion much longer. I think similarly, the story is told of Chaim Soloveitchik. The Talmud was of Chaim Soloveitchik and said to him, Rebbe, I don't have enough proofs to God. I have the questions are overwhelming. It's just too much. And Rav Chaim responded by saying, I hear, but did the questions bother you before you had a Yetzirah to leave religion or afterwards? And the guy responds, you know, after. And Rav Chaim's point is, these are great questions, but the magnitude, the how much fuel is poured onto the fire, how impactful the questions are, depends upon which direction you're looking to go in. And that so much that depends upon whether or not you're happy in religion. If you want to be successful in religion, find happiness in religion. Figure out a way to feel happy enjoyment with your successful growth in religion, with the strides you make, with the progress you accomplish. Allow yourself to feel successful in religion, and oz tatzlichu, oz, you'll be able to be successful, to grow, to move forward, find happiness in religion, and you'll be prosperous. Have a good job.